With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to a Tennis.com podcast direct from the U.S. Open, sponsored by Prince XO3 Racket Technology and by American Express. American Express presents Next Contenders. Get to know four of today's game changers in tennis and follow their moves during the 2010 U.S. Open. For more, visit nextcontenders.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Tennis.com podcast. This is live from the U.S. Open. I'm Ed McGrogan here with senior editors Pete Bodo and Steve Tigner from Tennis Magazine. And day one, the day session's about in the books. Wasn't too much drama over on Ash with the big names. Melanie Udan, Andy Roddick, and Kim Clijsters all won in straight sets. But, you know, around the grounds, there were some, you know, other matches a little more interesting. Steve, what did you see day one today that caught your eye on the grounds?
Well, I was out on court 11 for most of the day. That's where there was a long match. It almost felt like it became the center court on the grounds between Gael Monfils, a Frenchman, and Robert Kendrick, an American, sort of lower ranked American, but a good sort of dangerous player. And these two really, they put on a really good show. 6-4 in the fifth, Monfils won, and both of these guys are talented players, slightly flawed, but showmen in a way. And neither of them, they both had their serious ups and downs through the match. Just when you thought one guy was going to win, the other guy came forward. So it was one of those seesaw battles that you know drew fans over the course of the afternoon.
What did you think of that? What did you think of that blown lead at 2-1 there with Kendrick serving a 40 love, Steve?
Kendrick, 40 love. Monfils seems like he's done. He seems like he's packed it in. But Kendrick, you know, I don't know whether he just didn't believe that he could win. But it seemed like right when it got to the point where he could see the finish line. Monfils was physically in trouble. You know, Kendrick started to miss. He double faulted a couple of times. He missed some easy shots, and he almost seemed a little resigned.
Well, for 40 love, yeah, he had a double fault for deuce, misses an inside out forehand a little later, saves himself with when Monfils made a lob error. But you know, you got to win that game, don't you think? At 2-1, at fifth set, you got total control. Monfils is trying to play points with his busted racket there. I mean, the guy was totally cooked.
Yeah, Monfils does not even look like he's putting in an effort at that point. So yeah, I don't know what I think. Kendrick, to me, it looked like he just sort of. I guess he got nervous with the idea that he was actually going to win the match.
Did you guys? This was kind of a big deal shown on TV. I was in the press room looking at this, but there was a controversial call at 4-4 when the ball may have struck Monfils' racket. Kendrick had a big return back on serve, and it was called out. But there was some question whether it actually grazed the racket and would have given Kendrick break point, I believe. Did either Pete? Did you happen to see that? Being there up close for that? Any opinion?
Well, you know, and I was actually right in the first row of seats at the opposite end, the opposite baseline to the umpire's left. So it was tough for me to see that because it was the far end of the court. I think what happened there was Kendrick hit it, ripped a big return, I think it was, and Monfils basically stuck his racket down, and the ball must have gone just long and hit the ground and then hit his racket, or hit his racket because he was right on a baseline. So I guess Kendrick was arguing that the ball hit his racket, and the umpire made, I guess, a judgment call or upheld Monfils' claim that the ball basically had already hit. In other words, it hit, therefore it was out, the point was over, and then it hit his racket. And, yet, you know, that happens a lot. You know, guys, you know, take a cut at a ball and the out call comes and the guy hits the ball. So, I mean, it wasn't such a big deal that it hit the racket. The real question was whether the ball touched the ground before it hit his racket and whether or not it was out.
Steve, any thoughts on your end?
I thought that it had actually hit Monfils's racket first, and that's what Kendrick thought. But the umpire very quickly, very decisively said that it hit the ground first. What was interesting to me was that Monfils didn't say anything either way. He didn't say that the ball had hit the court first, which I don't know what that indicates. But he didn't make a stand, you know, in favor of the umpire to Kendrick.
It was his Ken Flack moment, if you remember that famous U.S. Open doubles match when Flack and Seguso playing doubles against a couple of French guys. And they claimed the ball brushed Flack's hair, and he said he's not going to make the call because it's not up to him to make a call on that, right?
Yeah, that's what happened. And they got booed. Yeah.
It was one of those, right?
Yeah. And there's that match there, and just, you know, to catch up, I don't know if you – not just the people who are listening, Robin's was watching the Safina Hantikova match over on Armstrong.
Oh my God,
which
that's got to be torture.
It was like I was saying to Steve earlier, it's a match that, you know, would have been sort of a week two match at a slam maybe a year or two ago with their rankings, but just because of where they fell, this is a first rounder of all matches. And, you know, there were some spurts of good tennis. I mean, Safina, she hasn't gotten back to where she was before by any stretch in terms of her, you know, tennis. But there were some bright spots, and you saw, I think, certain points sort of reminded you of where, you know, where they once were. This is, in the end, Hantikova won this in straights. But, you know, that was sort of the happenings of day one here. But I think, like we're saying, that Söderling and Monfils drew the most attention on an otherwise sort of ordinary day on Ash, and you know, later to come is the Venus match and Federer's opener as well. So but that's about it for here. Any final thoughts from you guys from day one at the Open?
Well, quite that. I was actually quite
I was
impressed
interested in Söderling.
Udan went through as quickly as she did. You know, I think Udan won six. She won three in love. She literally won before you even knew the match was going on. 11 o'clock start. You wonder why the USTA put her on at 11. You know, it's a first match of the day, first day of the tournament. It's almost like you're thinking, well, if she's going to lose, let's get her out of here quick so it doesn't become a disaster for us because of all the promotional stuff and things we've done. But she really stepped up, played great. I mean, you know, I was very, very happy to see that because that girl's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, she played well there, sort of a surprise after the long summer she had. Steve, why don't you get a quick word in on Söderling and what you saw about that one?
Well, I was just – I don't know if anybody saw it. This is one of those days where you can't see everything. I walked out of that match when he was up two sets, and then I figured that was going to be no problem. And I walked back out of the place, and he's won, you know, in a fifth set. So I don't know how he looked but it was one of those, you know, one of those matches that I wish I could have gotten to see.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of those this week.
There will definitely be with all the matches going on. But we'll catch up with some more of those tomorrow on day two at the U.S. Open with, again, Pete Bodo and Steve Tigner. I'm Ed McGrogan. Thanks again for listening to the Tennis.com podcast.
You've been listening to the Tennis.com podcast, sponsored by American Express. American Express presents Next Contenders. Get to know four of today's game changers in tennis and follow their moves during the 2010 U.S. Open. For more, visit nextcontenders.com. And also by Prince XO3 Racket Technology. For more news and information, head over to tennis.com. Thanks for listening.